Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this Thursday morning. Brought to you by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Let's head to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in our friend Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports. Charles, good morning. How are you?
Doing well, gents. How are you doing this morning?
Doing great, man. Appreciate you taking time to be with us. So, Charles, a lot of discussion about Brian Callahan around here as he enters into year two. And we've talked with you about just the idea of the coach and the number one overall pick at quarterback and how detrimental removing that coach could be for the development of the quarterback. So as you view Callahan, we all know it went off the rails in year one. How do you view year two for him? And what do you think should be the way the Titans approach this season with him in terms of evaluating Callahan and whether or not he keeps his job at the end of the year?
Well, I think it's, to me, it's a reboot, right? I mean, if you go out and you spend the first overall pick on a quarterback and Brian's involved in the process of vetting that player and, you go in with the intention of Cam Ward learning his offense, running his offense, you know, building that relationship. I think you have to start, you have to effectively start over in my mind because, and we discussed this last week. I think the worst thing you can do when you go and you get a quarterback is to, especially if the head coach is an offensive coach and, you know, the player is running his scheme and, you know, learning his traits, his culture, all these different things. The worst thing you can do is then erase all of that after 1 year and effectively start all over again with the quarterback and a new coordinator and a new quarterback's coach. Because that's another thing, too, you have to consider is if you steer away from Brian Callahan after 2025, you're steering away from his staff. That's what often happens. Everybody goes out the door and you're just beginning again. I would think that the alignment of the organization would have been, okay, we're going out to get a quarterback. We want this connection to exist beyond 2025. So even if there's struggles or if it's a bit of an uphill battle at the start, we're just going to have to fight through it. And I think that's a conversation even the Giants had about Jackson Dart. You know, you have Brian Daboll, Joe Shane, they're sitting there going, okay, well, our jobs are dependent on having some success in the 2025 season. Well, you know, I think John Mara made it pretty clear behind closed doors. Like, look, we don't want to go draft a quarterback in the first round, trade up to get him, and then throw him a curveball of, oh, well, you know, this didn't work out. You know, there was no success in 2025. So now we're going to go ahead and change directions and basically put all this in jeopardy again with this kid, which is what I think you would be doing with Cam Ward. If you change directions with the coaching staff, you're literally just telling the kid, look, we got to retool after 1 year in the NFL. And, we're putting you basically a year behind schedule where you're supposed to be. So I think to me, if you're going into 2025 going Brian Callahan's on the hot seat or whatever, if he's coaching for his job in 2025, then you probably shouldn't have picked a quarterback number one overall, knowing that you're going to have to restart that process and how detrimental ultimately that can be. And I know that's, you know, maybe fans don't want to hear that. You go 3-14 or whatever, let's say it's a disaster season, fans are going to want to see him fired. But I think what's more important, frankly, and I might be alone in this, what's more important, I think, than wins and losses is what progress do you see with Cam Ward? Does he have a season where he grows? Does he reach some of those benchmarks you want to see? And are you willing to go through the pain in the wins and losses column to make sure that the foundation, that kid, is going to be the centerpiece of that team and not be uprooted really quickly? Because you don't know, that's another thing too, even though you could go out and shop for another coach with your quarterback in mind and that coach being the person that comes in, quote unquote, fixes, you know, Cam Ward after one season. I've seen coaching staffs come in with the intent of wanting to coach that quarterback, sort of how, you know, Brian Callahan came in, Will Levis, wanting to coach that quarterback, and then after a year going, nah, it's not my guy. I want to go in a different direction. Consider that. That can happen. You saw that happen there, and I've seen it happen with very, very high-end picks. Sean McVay went in to rewire Jared Goff with the LA Rams, took him, you know, to heights, and then decided years into the process, he can't grow anymore with me. It's time for me to move on without this guy and go in a different direction. It can happen with number one overall picks very easy.
So, Charles, I don't want to overjudge someone for, like, public comments. Some people aren't great at that. But I will say that James Gladstone's little presser thing about Travis Hunter was about as good as, like, my sixth grade book report in front of the class about why Ty Cobb was better than Babe Ruth. And it makes me think that maybe they're going to be a complete bleep show. But I don't know. You tell me. Like, is this a kid genius who's going to revolutionize Jacksonville, or is he going to continue the tradition of that franchise?
He sounded a lot like McVay to me. Like, it was funny because after he had that press conference, someone in the league clipped out a little piece of it and texted it to me, and it was part of that introduction for Travis Hunter, and just, you know, sounded like something like Phil Jackson would say when he's on a heater, and really, like, just completely talking about, you know, mysticism and you know, the dawn of man. And I'm like this, it did sound, though, I was like, he's been listening to McVay. Like, this sounds like McVay at his when he's really rolling and going all over the place. I don't know, honestly. We'll see. I tend to believe I'm less worried about the general manager there at that point, because frankly, anything was an upgrade, you know, swapping out that position in the off season. And then, you know, Liam Cohen to me is, if what he accomplished in Tampa Bay is real, I think you will see that offense get exponentially better pretty quickly, particularly the run game for the Jaguars. I think Cohen is the one that we're going to see pretty quickly what kind of an impact you know, he can have on that organization. And everything I heard about Cohen coming out of Tampa was just, you know, how much confidence he instilled in Baker Mayfield, the connection he had with, you know, the wide receiver room, obviously the way he completely revamped their running game and made it dominant with Bucky Irving down the stretch. So, you know, when I stare at Jacksonville, I'm like, all right, offensively, if this guy is what he's cracked up to be, we're going to see Jacksonville get it together pretty quickly with the head coaching change. But I can't speak. I've never spoken to their general manager. I don't have any kind of a relationship with him. A lot of this, you know, after his hiring, was my introduction to him was just sort of reading up on him, talking to different guys about him. You know, Les Snead has a really, really high opinion of him, the general manager at the Los Angeles Rams. Obviously, he would. That's his guy. But I can't speak authoritatively to whether he's going to, you know, make good on some of the stuff that he says in his press conference. Plus, let's
stretch
let's
the
honest,
bounds, like, of human possibility.
He thinks, yeah, Travis Hunter's going to be, yeah, a Jedi, I think.
I'll say this. Like, I've gotten wrapped up. Okay, Nick Sirianni's introductory press conference, I was like, this dude's a disaster.
That's fair.
Yep,
that is fair.
Dan Campbell's introductory press conference, I was like, this dude's a disaster. Like it's just, I've seen introductory press conferences where I'm like, what the hell are we doing here?
Yep.
What are we talking about? What is going on here? And been completely wrong about, you know, how the individual ultimately, you know, Brandon Staley, I loved his introductory press conference. That didn't work. So it's, let's not get overly wrapped up in, you know, how loopy people can get with their introductory press conferences, and, you know, see what they actually accomplish on the field.
So let's dig into another team in the AFC South, and that is the Colts, who have the quarterback competition between Daniel Jones and Anthony Richardson. Now, Charles, to me, I think if you're the Colts, I think you have to start the season with Richardson and just see if he responds at all and what that looks like. I realize he had a 47.7% completion percentage last year, which is, you know, borderline impossible to have in the NFL. So I get all that. So how do you read this? Like, are you viewing this as a legitimate competition? If it is, does that signal to you that maybe Indy's already done with Anthony Richardson? How do you view kind of what's going on in Indianapolis at the quarterback spot?
Look, I'll be honest. I think it's stacked for Daniel Jones to just take the job. Like, it's the finances alone. You know, I know it's a one-year, what, $14 million deal, but he got, what, $13 million, a little over almost $13.2 million guaranteed at signing. That's way above average for a backup quarterback. You know, I think it was, in a way, the deal reminded me a little bit of when the Titans traded for Ryan Tannehill. And you're like, okay, so this is it for Marcus Mariota. Like this is it. Like, either he's going to get this in gear, or this other guy who's coming in is going to ultimately take over this job. Only I think this is way worse. I think the Colts and you know, Robbie, the 47% completion percentage is a huge red flag. How about 12 interceptions and 9 fumbles in 11 games?
It's hard to do.
12 interceptions and 9 fumbles in 11 games. That's insane. And that's without even getting to the point that he tapped out of a game, which really to me was the beginning of the end for him. He can't tap out of a game, then talk about it later and admit you were tired. You just wanted to check out for a couple plays or a play. Like, that was a massively damaging moment for him. And I think the way that the Colts are looking at it is, if Richardson somehow kicks this into gear, that's frosting. Like, I don't even know if they really expect it. They're talking about adding competition to the room. I think they went hunting for the starter to take over. And especially once the offseason began, it got out really – I mean, it was out there everywhere in the league that they were going to get Daniel Jones, like Indianapolis was. And so, like, Chris Ballard – either it was Chris Ballard, someone else in the organization was clearly, you know, made it very, very obvious to everyone that they wanted to go get Daniel Jones to take over as the starter there. And, you know, so I don't even know what to say about Richardson. It's been the worst possible outcome. Like, if you had sat there and stacked it when the Colts took him and said, okay, well, here's the ceiling, here's the floor. It's a really considerable ceiling, but it's an extremely, extremely low floor too. I think we're at the low floor end of it. And, you know, again, it's just going to come down to what can Richardson do. I think from a mental standpoint, from a confidence standpoint, you know, throw all the physical stuff out at this point, because we know he's got that. It's just every other thing that it takes to be a quarterback. Is he preparing the way he needs to prepare? Like, I would say he needs to step in immediately, show that he can be just efficient, not turn the ball over, not have ball security issues, you know, hit short passes, hit intermediate passes. Don't worry about, you know, throwing it 65 yards in the air, and just run an adequate functional offense that, frankly, it's there. Their offense is prepared to be at least above average. You know, Jonathan Taylor, healthy, is still one of the best backs in football. Michael Pittman Jr., I think, has far more to offer than he has been offering, but I think that's because of problems at the quarterback spot. You know, Josh Downs is a quality slot player. You go out and you draft Tyler Warren, who, you know, should be able to help do a lot of different things on that offense, whether it's, you know, running some wildcat, you know, I think the pass blocking, being an inline, you know, tight end at times, obviously receiving. You know, he's shown that coming out of Penn State, he could do a lot of different things. So I think even the offensive line, you know, healthy, is adequate enough for Daniel Jones to go in there, take that job over, and for the Colts to look a heck of a lot better pretty quickly. And frankly, I think if Jones does well enough, he could, like Tannehill with the Titans, play himself into being the long-term starter, you know, in that organization. But I'm with you, Robbie. It feels like they got to come in and, you know, lean into Anthony Richardson, at least initially, I would say in camp. But I don't think it's stacked that way. To me, it feels like it's stacked more for them to make the move to Jones pretty quickly once Richardson falters.
So everything you're saying makes sense to me. And so I'm with you there. But then, of course, that leads to the question of, all right, so how is Chris Ballard keeping his job? Like, I understand Andrew Luck walked out, and that set them back a long way. But I don't know that I've ever seen anybody get this many kicks at the can and try to fix quarterback and not be able to do it and still hold on to their job. It's wild to me.
Yeah, and I mean, that's not it's not. If you look at, I would say this, you know, Ballard definitely has his critics across the league, people who will stack up and say, you know, they will ask, why don't you criticize Chris Ballard? Like, here's his drastic history. Like, here, look at all these, you know, there's misses at the top, there's misses in the middle that are really consistent, and yet he's never really held accountable for it. I will say this, like, if it wasn't Indianapolis, if it was in Philly, if it was in Chicago, if it was in, you know, I think certain, there are still markets where you can kind of get away with failing repeatedly. You know, Houston was like that for a long time. You know, I guess you'd just call it a small market atmosphere. I still think Indy's a big small town. And, you know, that probably leans into it. Also, he's got an owner. Look, let's be honest. Like, Jim Irsay's all over the place, yeah. Right? Like, he's not – I wouldn't say he's the most present individual when it comes to, you know, always being there and holding everybody accountable in the league. And I think he's got his own accountability problems. So maybe that plays, you know, into it as well. But – yeah, you know, Ballard's missed on coaches. He's missed on quarterbacks. He's missed on, you know, a multitude of picks along the way. Some places you just get a lot of chances. This feels like this is that place. But I'll say this too. If this is a unmitigated failure again, even with Daniel Jones in the fold, I think at that point you're starting to go, okay, maybe it's time to, you know, to do a clean sweep. And I would say the coaching staff could be in jeopardy as well as Ballard.
Okay, well, you're on the record with that because I'm skeptical. I feel like he's got a lifetime appointment at this point. But, okay, now you can comment on whatever aspect of this you like, Charles, but I'm going to specifically bring up this. Apparently, you know, like when Skip Bayless gets one over on Tom Brady, that's really something.
Brady didn't have any. Yeah.
Well, okay, this is what I want. This is the point. You know, Skip Bayless says clearly Tom Brady, you know, told the Raiders, like, don't draft Shadur. I keep trying to read this, and the ad on my phone keeps going in front of me. Here's the quote. Quote, it's, holy crap, the ad keeps going in front of me. Look at this. Robbie, what are we
could see
doing
the
here?
The struggle that is taking place with him.
I hate technology. Okay, quote, it's kind of unfortunate. Yeah, I know. Quote, it's kind of unfortunate because there actually used to be a lot of integrity in media, and there's way less now because everyone needs crazy voices to get heard. It actually probably hurts a lot of relationships, which is not the goal of broadcasting. It should be to develop and cultivate and solve problems. And rather than the critiques, I want people to offer solutions, end quote. Please comment on this freaking guy. The size of
it. Yeah, I don't really – I mean, I don't agree with any of that. I don't think it's anyone's I don't think it's anyone's job in media to help other organizations solve their problems, right? And I saw what Bayless said, and it was, you know, it's clearly he presented it as an opinion, which is weird that, you know, Tom riffs on this. But what I saw there was a guy who got asked about something he was uncomfortable with.
Yes.
And none of it rung true to me, okay? And look, I say this, you know, Tom Brady does his car washes like through Hertz or whatever. I talked to him a couple of times in the last, you know, year or so. I've never had a problem with Brady. But there's just, to me, it's very intellectually dishonest when an owner comes out and says, hey, we're bringing this guy in. He's going to have a big voice in the building. The general manager tells you straight up, he was going to be involved in looking at quarterbacks, or we'd be crazy, you know, not to talk to Tom about the quarterbacks. And then Tom Brady, by the way, you select a quarterback in the sixth round in Cam Miller. And then your general manager comes out and says, hey, Tom liked the way he threw it. Tom liked his technique and his throwing. And
but
all
he had
stuff.
No so comment like, on Shadur. We forgot to ask about Shadur. Right.
He wasn't involved in the evaluation process of Shadur. So wait a minute. You're the kid's mentor for a long time, right? You're friends with his dad. you know him pretty well. You know, there's been some commentary in the past about, you know, Tom telling Shador, you know, spend more time in the car, or get out of the car, spend more time in the film room, you know, like, but then when it comes time to draft a quarterback, which you do have a long-term need, and you had, what, the 33rd pick in the fourth round, which is effectively the first, you know, in any normal year, it's the first pick in the fifth round, right? You had a fifth round pick basically sitting there, you know, to take him, and you didn't. And so it just, again, it's completely intellectually dishonest for the organization to paint Tom Brady in one light and say he's going to be involved in all these different things, and then they pass on someone who he knows on practically a granular level as a quarterback and as a person, right? And they don't even sniff the kid. And now Tom's like, well, I wasn't involved in that. Like, I wasn't – it just –
I texted him, hey, I went late in the draft, too.
Right. Yeah, yeah, I fell too.
What, like, what does Shador say back to him? Cool. So, hey.
Right. So let's play this out logically, right? Let's play this out logically. Tom Brady cares a lot about how he's presented publicly, right? He has a very manicured, you know, brand, you know, what he is as a broadcaster, what he is as a businessman, his football, you know, achievements, all these different things. You're getting involved in an evaluation process now, and this is where it always can get tricky for players, ex-players, right? You have relationships, right? And especially when they go into broadcasting, more often than not, they don't really want to give you biting commentary on their buddies, on people they know, on relationships, on coaches. Like, they don't want to go into broadcasting and undress a coaching staff for a bunch of mistakes they made, or a quarterback for, you know, stupid boneheaded things he might have done in the game, because they know, like, I know this guy. Like, it interferes, obviously, with their ability, you know, to come to the table and then show, like, basically open their robes and say, okay, this is it. We're bearing it all here. The same thing happens in this evaluation, where Shador is such a flashpoint that everybody's staring at the Raiders and going, wait a minute. Of all the teams that probably know this kid better than anybody else, it's Tom Brady and the Raiders. Why are they passing on him? Like, that to me became a very interesting indictment along the draft fall, because it's like, why aren't the Raiders taking? Why aren't the Raiders? Okay, well, now he's in backup territory. Geno Smith shouldn't have to look over his shoulder if you're taking a kid at, you know, in the late fourth round, top of the fifth round. And then for Tom just to come out and say, I didn't have any part at all in the evaluation process, felt really disingenuous to me. And it's unfortunate. And again, I think a very easy tactic in this scenario is to steer it into a media, talk about that as a media, talk about, you know, it's the same stuff we got into when I got mad at you about bringing up the mock drafts. Like, really, this is where we want to go with this. We're going to blame it on all these other surrounding things. And
blame
not
the media.
Yeah.
Blame media. That's the easy thing to do.
By the way, I have to go back and watch it again. Wasn't there kind of a hard cut too in the middle of that whole back and forth?
I
think there was a hard cut. Listen, we all have shot podcasts. We do, you know, we do video, we do all this stuff. I pay attention to hard cuts, especially in the middle of really sticky questions where someone clearly gets uncomfortable. Because to me, and I'm not saying this is what's happened, but I've seen it happen before. I've seen players stop things in the middle and go, yeah, you know, I don't want to address this. Look, I don't want to talk about this. So we're just gonna have to edit this out later or whatever, but this is not, let's not go down let's not go here. Like, you know, as Bill Belichick's girlfriend would say, we're not talking about this. only occasionally the news organization puts that out, and then it makes it look really, really bad. So I would go back and watch that again, because I swear right in the middle of it, when he's uncomfortable, there's a hard cut, and I'm like, that feels like something got edited out there. It wasn't a seamless bit of media where it was just like, oh, he gave this 3-minute long diatribe and nothing ever got cut out of it. So, Tom saying what he's saying, I find it unbelievable. I don't find it believable. And I could be completely in the wrong there, but I just, and if it, and the flip side of that coin is, by the way, if it is true, then I think the Raiders are in a lot of trouble.
Yeah, I would say so.
That's it. Like, if you didn't ask him about Shador and he wasn't part of that process,
then you're morons.
Then I think you're compromised.
Oh,
yeah,
shoot.
You're compromised.
Oh, we forgot. Oh, dang it. I knew we meant to call him for something, and then we forgot.
By the way, Mark Davis is going to get asked about this, right?
Oh, yeah.
Like, don't you think at some point someone's going to ask Mark Davis, like, hey, Tom says he wasn't part of the evaluation process of Shador Sanders. Why?
Well, you know, the media today is, yeah.
Let's talk about my haircut.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. We can finally make fun of my haircut.
Charles, great stuff as always, my friend. Thanks for taking time to be with us, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right, take care, guys.
Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports, our guest. Lots to react to there from Charles. We'll do that next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Robbie and Rex Road brought to you by First Horizon. Big bank muscle, small bank hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios. Oh, and the $99 yearly Beehive membership with the Buzz is always about great service. Appreciate Charles Robinson for being with us in the last segment. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines. Driven by Wilson County Hyundai.
Some of your thoughts. Some of your not.
Exactly.
That made no sense.
I don't know,
I'm just excited that Ian played breath for me.
Take your thoughts on the YouTube chat as well, which has been flowing today. We appreciate it, as always. Interesting perspective there from Charles on the Brady stuff. I mean, look, the let's face it. Regardless of what you think of Tom Brady, like the idea that the Raiders just did not ask him and he was not involved at all in the evaluation process of Shador Sanders. It's just total bull crap. Can we not all accept that?
So let's go back before the draft. Could the Raiders not have foreseen this? If they knew, and clearly they did, they were not touching Shador Sanders on the advice of Tom Brady.
Yeah.
So they knew this. So when you get asked about Brady's involvement, maybe don't say, oh, we'd be idiots not to listen to Tom.
We'd be total morons not to ask Tom Brady about a quarterback.
Like, you know, see, the thing is, this is what they probably assumed, that he would go higher and then it wouldn't be a thing, right? Like,
right.
It doesn't even get to them. Maybe he goes in the first round, whatever it is, and then it's like, okay,
well,
great.
And then
move on with our lives.
The excuse could be, you know, well, Ashton Jeanty was there, man, and he's –
yeah,
he's a generational running back. I had to take him.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, they obviously, like most people, didn't think he was going to fall away. But now the way he falls, it's like, huh. So his mentor, the guy that you were leaning on heavily, and again, the guy who – and Charles has referenced this a little bit in the past too, guy who seems to be making – he's not just an advisor on quarterbacks. He's got pretty strong voice in the organization. So the question obviously coming – and the best they could come up with was Brady. You know, guys, the media really sucks, huh? Am I right or am I right? Embarrassing.
And that is true. As Charles pointed out, they did take a quarterback later in the draft. So he apparently was involved with that one.
Yeah.
But the other one's not so much.
The Colts thing, I love when Indy Ben, you know, jumps in. You just never know. I do want it. Boy, this is a long one, Indy Ben. You got to chop
condense
these up a little bit. He says the Colts are never going to draft a QB high with this crappy draft, so Indy's hoping Anthony Richardson, with a full healthy offseason, progresses, mechanics, mental aspect, et cetera, et cetera. He knows he's on the hot seat. He doesn't remember the long-term QB situation. That's Ballard. This is not the same situation as Tennessee, as they've mainly had a crappy roster and made very questionable front office decisions leading to multiple firings. That's true, Indy Ben. You can comfort yourself with you're not the Titans right now.
That is true.
I think you do have a better team than the Titans. Now, the Titans may, we'll see, have an actual franchise quarterback, and the Colts have Anthony Richardson and Daniel Jones. So that's where Titans fans can probably feel, at this moment, until they see Cam Ward play, feel better about things.
Let's operate under the assumption that Charles is, his kind of intuition here is right, which everything he said made sense, and that they are, like, the Colts are planning on Daniel Jones to be the starting quarterback. So Ballard, you know, obviously when Andrew Luck walks out the door, that totally derails your franchise, right? And there's going to be some natural time that has to pass for you to try to overcome that. So I get that part of it. And you brought in Phillip Rivers, and actually Phillip Rivers is, you know, pretty good for Indianapolis. In the aftermath of that, they've done what? Carson Wentz.
I mean, he had some stretches, and then all of a sudden they go to Jacksonville, and it was like, oh boy.
Well.
Yeah.
Carson Wentz in there. You had Matt Ryan, which failed miserably in Indianapolis. You took Anthony Richardson fourth overall, and it's been a total disaster to this point. Like, how many general managers survived that? I don't remember a situation in, like, modern football quite like this, where they survive, like, this many attempts to get the quarterback right, if, in fact, they are done with Anthony Richardson.
No, it's wild. It's interesting, too, because what he was doing previously was actually kind of what I thought the Titans should do, what the Titans did do with Tannehill, and what I thought the Titans should do this offseason while they try to build up the rest of the roster. He had a really good roster. Maybe it was a little bit overestimated, but it was good. I mean, he had a very good team. Luckily, and so they tried to do the veteran thing to try to take immediate advantage of the roster. And like you just laid out, none of it really worked out. Rivers was the best one. And that's another example of the downside of doing that, you know. But then you go and try to get your guy, and you apparently just completely flamed out. It'll be interesting if Charles is right that this is just headed toward Daniel Jones getting the job.
Yeah.
It'll be really interesting to see, like, Richardson from there, because I could still see a team out there being like, okay, so again, he never played. They threw him in you never throw that guy in as a rookie. Terrible decision-making on their part. They didn't intend to, but then they play him, and maybe there is still something there. I mean,
maybe. I mean, it is kind of amazing to me how they botched that, because this is not, you know, we do, admittedly, a lot of second-guessing in this business. It's what happens a lot.
Stupid media.
This is not second-guessing with Anthony Richardson. Like, we screamed about it when they took him. It was like, yeah, he doesn't need to play. Like, he's not ready to play NFL football, and he's been horrible. Like, you know, Charles Robinson laid it out there. He's, you know, the high floor – or excuse me, the high ceiling and the extremely low floor. It's almost hard in today's NFL to put up some of the numbers that he has. Like a 47.7% completion percentage in an 11-game span is hard to do in today's NFL.
And 21 combined turnovers, is that right?
Yes. Yeah. 12 interceptions and
no, 23. Did he say 11 fumbles?
I think
or
it was
9
12
fumbles?
Interceptions and 9 fumbles.
Yeah, yeah. 21 turnovers. My goodness.
Yeah.
No, it's crazy. It doesn't look good, you know? And so I'm with you. It's just like, okay, so Daniel Jones, what's Daniel Jones going to do with that team this year? You know,
I don't think Daniel Jones is very good.
An 8-9 kind of season.
And frankly, I've never thought Daniel Jones is very good. When he got the contract, I was like, okay. Like, even go back and look at his good season, right? When they made the playoffs and they won a playoff game. This is his stat line from that season. He threw for 3,200 yards, which is fine, 15 touchdowns and 5 picks. It's like, okay.
What was his rushing total?
His rushing total that year was, let me pull it up.
Because I feel like he did make a lot of plays, and he made some good plays late in games. You know, like you thought he was progressing.
He ran for 700 yards that year, yeah, and 7 touchdowns. So that's obviously a big part of it. But, like, throwing the football, he's never been good. Like, I've never understood the fascination around it.
Yeah, not good enough. I mean, I think the athleticism is part of it, you know. And, again, you bring him to Indy, you can do a lot of the same stuff. So, at least, like it stylistically, it makes sense, you know, to go from one to the other. But I'm with you. He's not very good. He's not going to be
very good. Like, I don't – I could be wrong. I mean, I guess we should probably clip this up for when the Colts go win the division this year.
Yeah.
But, you know, we've seen Darnold go to a different stop and play well. We've seen Mayfield go to a different stop and play well. So there's recent history in the NFL of that happening. I will be very surprised if that happens with Daniel Jones.
Mayfield looked good his first stop, too, before he got hurt. So there. But, yeah, Darnold is – Darnold, and then Darnold, you have the Jets tax – whatever
there
that is
that.
But there's a big tax if you go play for them.
Is
yeah,
there
I just
a
think,
Giants tax?
Well, so, I mean, that's the thing. I mean, you could make that argument. I just think the inconsistency throwing the ball at this point, he's not Josh Allen. He's kind of like the same kind of player. Like, if he could be really good, he could be like a Josh Allen kind of player, but I don't think it's happened. How many years has he been in the league now? 4?
He has been in the league since 2019. So this will be.
That's right, because he got that second little disc. So this is
going to be his seventh year.
Yeah, it's not happening, man.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. One more segment coming up next. More of your thoughts to get to on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. 615 Open Charity Golf Tournament benefiting Folds of Honor presented by Gary Force Acura at Hermitage Golf Course is back coming up on Thursday, May 29th. You can sign up to play or sponsor at 615open.com. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Joe, going back to the Will Levis point, we talked yesterday about edge rusher and if the Titans should go pursue getting an edge rusher.
Edge one rusher, texter, right tackle?
Yes, long snapper.
Good job.
Left guard, right guard.
Nice.
Clip it.
One texter says, could you trade Will Levis for an edge rusher? Is that possible? You could probably trade him for an edge rusher. Not a very good one.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
Yeah. It'd be a release.
Third stringer.
It'd be a pickup on waivers level player, basically.
Yeah. If you think that you're going to trade Will Levis for like a contributing edge rusher, the answer is no. That's not going to happen.
Probably not.
Like Will Levis did not get moved at the draft. You know, the Titans say they didn't try to move him at the draft. And look, maybe they didn't. I don't know. It's hard for me to believe. Maybe they didn't try to move him at the draft. But I kind of took that as, yeah, there wasn't a whole lot of interest on Will Levis around the league. So what's his value right now? Like, what's Will Levis worth in a trade? Sixth rounder next year?
Yeah, something like that.
It's probably what it is.
I continue to strongly believe that moving him is in their best interest. Never got into that with PK this week. We'll have to remember next week to bring that up so we can yell at him. He also would like to make fun of Stilley's take that the only reason the Titans possibly could have chosen Cam Ward is because Amy said you can't spend money. This is your budget. You have to make it work. And so they said, well, I guess we just have to take Cam Ward.
They didn't sign a free agent quarterback.
Yes, okay. Exactly. That's got to be the answer. It couldn't be that they actually like Cam Ward, that they did their jobs and actually like Cam Ward. It must be that. So PK would like in on that too.
Okay, we can do that.
Remember that for next week.
I mean, you could have got.
I'll totally forget.
So it was
everything.
Like, what did Jameis Winston sign for? Like, what was his contract?
4.
Yeah, so that was out of the budget.
Jared's point yesterday is he was talking about Darnold in particular.
Okay.
So again,
yeah, 2 for 8 for Jameis.
It couldn't be that they looked at Darnold and said, "Yeah, no thanks."
Right. Again, and I am someone, by the way, who liked that plan and agree on him. Like I would have taken a shot at him, but I don't agree with the dumb theory. For the record,
okay.
How about you?
No, I don't agree with that. No, I do not. I do not think
for the record
there was an edict from Amy that said you will not spend money on a quarterback. We will not do it.
If that's the case, then I would nominate Amy as the worst owner in sports.
Well, if that's the case, get excited about Cam Ward, baby. What a reason to draft a
quarterback. Oh, yeah. If that's the case, get excited about your franchise because it has no chance of having any success at all, ever.
I mean, look, bad franchises.
They do bad things.
Do luck into things from time to time.
Yes.
Right?
Well, that is true. That's true. I mean, maybe that's how it happened, and these guys don't want Cam Ward, and all of a sudden they're like, oh, crap, he is good. All right, Amy. Yeah.
Good job, Amy. Good call. Way to go.
Woo. Give me a raise.
I hope that wasn't the case. Hope that wasn't the case.
It's not the craziest thing in the world to take Cam Ward. Yeah. I wouldn't have done it. But let's not. I mean, we're starting to act like, you know, he was a 7th-round projected QB who went 1 overall. He was the best QB in this draft, according to evaluators, and he's got a lot of talent.
One thing that we'll get into a little bit tomorrow, you know, we talked a lot about the idea of if you fire Brian Callahan after year one and what that would do to set Cam Ward back. And Mark from Ashland City texted, and he's not the only one. I've heard this theory kind of thrown out there too, that think that that's kind of like the dumbest approach ever. And like, what if he just sucks? Like, you'd be better off just moving on from him at that point, if that's the case. So we'll get a little bit more into that tomorrow on the show. But good stuff today. If you missed it, go check it out. Robbie and Rex Road, wherever you get your podcast. Had Gentry Estes on earlier. Had Charles Robinson as well. Have fun at Pearl Jam tonight.
Oh, I will. I'll have a full review tomorrow morning.
Jason Big Joe coming up next. This is 102.5, 106.3 The Game.